Well, good morning for those watching and listening. We want to say thank you for taking the time to do that. Just a quick reminder, next week is going to look a little different. Instead of just waiting for the video to play at around 10:25, we're going to have on-demand content available starting at 7 a.m. So when you come here, you'll be able to play the video whenever time you want. And so we'll have our normal rhythm of on-demand content for preschool through fifth grade, and then also for the adults. And the reason why is because our Fredericksburg campus, we're not having any in-person services. We're going to just really rest this Memorial Day weekend. We're so thankful for those who have given their lives for the sake of our country. We're also thankful for those volunteers who serve every week in day, week in and week out. We want to honor them and honor them well. So believe it or not, a few years ago, I was at the airport, and I was behind a guy who clearly was struggling with an overweight suitcase. And so he heaves it up on the scale. And the airline worker knows immediately that it's overweight. And so the scale says 8 pounds overweight, basically. And so he just tells the guy, listen, you're going to have to take some things out of this or you're going to pay the fee. And the guy did not want to pay the fee. So he popped open his suitcase and he started pulling out the most random things, like a couple pair of shoes, a few heavy books, a case of protein shakes, a tangled mess of wires and cables, and there wasn't anything that really we didn't want to see. We saw the underoos, we saw some other things we didn't really want to see. And so the airline worker is just watching as this guy is justifying keeping it all. He says, I might need this. And he begins to stuff some things back in, and the airline worker gets his latex gloves out, gets a trash bag out, and he's just ready to collect what needs to be thrown away. Because eventually this guy, he had to face the truth that some of it had to go if he wanted to move forward. I think for some of us, we carry around things like unforgiveness, right? We are convinced that we might need it for protection. Some of us are holding on to unhealthy family patterns because even though they weigh us down, they're familiar. And some of us, we lug around the need for approval, always looking back at a parent who never gave it, hoping that this time is going to be different. And just like that guy at the airport, guys, we'd rather pay the emotional cost than to face the discomfort of unpacking what's inside and throwing it away. Here's the truth. You and I can't move freely into our future if we're still dragging the past. So what's in your suitcase, right? What's weighing you down that God never intended for you to carry? Are you willing to unpack the past, or will you keep paying the cost to carry it forward? Here's the reality. God isn't charging baggage fees. He's offering to take it for free. We just got to be willing to give it to him. See, we've all seen that person at the airport, right, who's clearly overpacked. Or we've seen the show Elsbeth, who carries around a lot of bags, or maybe if you're at the Fredericksburg campus, you've seen a rising sixth grader, carrying around a bunch of bags. That's my daughter. And what's so interesting is maybe you've been that person, right? You're struggling to roll multiple bags at the airport. You got a coffee in one hand. You got your phone in the other hand. You got your plane ticket in your mouth. And everyone else is moving freely except for you. Then maybe people are looking at you and you just feel stuck. You feel like you're barely making progress. See, most of us, we walk through life that very same way. And we may not be dragging physical suitcases, but here's what we're carrying. Unresolved family pain, right? A father who was absent, a mother who was critical, a childhood marked by unmet needs. Maybe it was generational patterns, right? Maybe anger, addiction, abuse, or control runs in your family, and no one ever stopped to ask why. Maybe it's the need for approval, still waiting for that one parent to say, I'm proud of you. Or maybe it's a failure, right? Because mistakes weren't allowed when you grew up. Or maybe it was the weight of the weight of unmet expectations. You're trying to live up the standards that you never set for yourself. Some of us, we have inherited dysfunction, and some of us have picked that baggage up along the way. But either way, we're carrying it. And for some of us, it's really hard to let go because it's comfortable. It's heavy, but it's ours. Because it's familiar, right? We've carried it for so long, we just don't know who we would be without it. Because we think we have to. Because we were told that this is just how our family is. This is just who you are. But just like we see at the airport, the longer you carry it, the more exhausted you become. We've seen this play over the last couple of weeks in our series, The Sins of the Fathers, that God does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. And in Exodus 34:7, God is helping us understand that generational baggage is a real thing, that sin has a ripple effect. It's not just your past. It's your family's past showing up in your present. God doesn't just acknowledge generational baggage. He provides a way to break free from it. And the first step is to leave. It's leaving. Instead of seeing leaving as, well, I'm going to cut off all family ties, leaving means this, that I'm leaving behind patterns, expectations, and wounds of the past that are holding me back. Instead, I'm stepping into the identity that God is calling me to grow in. So, the identity that God is calling you and me to grow in is as an adopted son or daughter. So, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. This is not about relocation, this is about transformation. This isn't about me moving to a different state to get away from my family. This is about accepting who I am in Christ. Because I don't have to necessarily distance myself from my family physically, but I do have to distance myself from destructive patterns. It's about deciding what defines you, what defines me, our past or God. Throughout the Bible, we see that God, when he calls someone into something new, he often gives them a new identity. He gives them a new name. Like if we think of Abraham in the Bible, his first name was Abram, and then he went to Abraham. He became the father of many nations despite having no kids of his own. And then we think of a guy like Jacob. His name went from deceiver to Israel, which became the moniker of God's people. And then you have someone like Simon that was unstable to then being called Peter, a rock. Peter was one of the early leaders that Jesus founded the church on. The truth is that none of those guys stopped being part of their families, but their primary identity changed. See, some of us, we grew up with these spoken or unspoken labels of, well, you're never going to amount to much, or you're just like your dad, you're just like your mom, you're just like your granddad, you're just like your grandmother, or this is just how our family is, this is just who you are. Leaving means refusing to let those labels dictate God's call on our life. It's refusing to allow those labels to dictate God's identity over you. It's choosing to walk in the new identity in Jesus, even if our family doesn't understand it. Leaving isn't about moving out. It's about moving forward. It's about saying, I may actually come from this dysfunction, but I'm not changed. I'm not chained to the dysfunction. And when you step into something new, it actually gives your family a chance to see things a different way. It might be the thing that draws them into a relationship with God. Leaving is the first step, but then you have to own what happens next. Like you and I just can't reject old patterns. We have to take responsibility to build something better. And the second step is owning. Like you and I did not choose our family past, right? You and I didn't choose our family history, but we do own what happens next. And some of us, man, we were handed a broken inheritance. Maybe it was family dysfunction. Maybe it was divorce. Maybe it was addiction, abuse, anger, fear, cycles of just really poor decisions. And that's not your fault. But what you do next is, and it is your responsibility. One of the things you read a couple of weeks ago is that in Ezekiel's day, in the Old Testament, people were blaming their problems on their ancestors. They were blaming daddy or granddaddy or great-granddaddy, saying that they were just doomed to repeat the same mistakes. And God corrects them. Yet you ask, why does the son not share the guilt of his father? Since the son has done what is just and right and has been careful to keep all my decrees, he will surely live. The one who sins is the one who will die. God's saying in so many words, he sums it up, you are responsible for your actions. Listen, generational sin explains you, but it doesn't excuse you. Like it's going to the doctor and you're being told, hey, you have a family history of heart disease. Like that's not your fault. But if you keep eating junk food, avoid exercising, ignoring the warning signs, the outcome then is on you. Because at some point you have to own your own health or your story is going to end the same way it did for your ancestors. The same is true with your spiritual inheritance. You and I can keep making the same excuses. They never took me to church. They never read the Bible. They never prayed in front of me. Or you and I can own the steps needed to break the cycle. We can stay bitter at the past, or we can start healing for the future. Here's what owning might look like for you. Owning your wounds. Like, have you actually processed your pain, or are you just carrying it along for the ride? Owning your choices. Have you identified the behaviors you need to break? Owning your healing. Like, have you sought the help that you need? Through discipleship, through community, through counseling. What about owning your faith? Like, have you stopped relying on someone else's faith and started walking with Jesus for yourself? So the first step is leaving. The second step is owning. And the third step is creating. You and I just can't reject the past. We have to replace it with something. It's not just enough to break away from dysfunction. We have to do something actively moving forward. So continuing in the Old Testament, when Israel lost a war, their nation was actually displaced for 70 years. And there's a guy by the name of Nehemiah who was actually sent back by this pagan king to rebuild Jerusalem. And so he sees the broken walls of Jerusalem and says this, Nehemiah said to them, you can see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. We're going to talk more about this in the coming months, this story. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, for we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let's start rebuilding. So they began this good work. What we see from Nehemiah is he just doesn't sit there. He's not just there being very cynical, saying, man, this really stinks, guys. We're in a bad spot. He doesn't say, well, it is what it is. He steps up and he begins to rebuild something stronger than what was before. Look, some of us were handed this, in so many words, a spiritual fixer-upper. Maybe faith wasn't a priority in your home, so now you have to establish a spiritual foundation for your own family. Maybe for you, you saw an unhealthy marriage growing up, or maybe multiple unhealthy marriages growing up. So now you have to rebuild a marriage that's based and centered on Christ, on trust, on service, on sacrifice, on love. Breaking cycles isn't just about avoiding what's wrong. It's about creating what's right. Maybe here's what creating might look like for you. creating a new rhythm. Maybe you're prioritizing prayer and worship and church attendance and healthy family traditions. Maybe it's creating new relationships, right? You're surrounding yourself with people who reflect where you want to go. Or it's creating a new legacy. You're living in such a way that your children, your grandkids, your great-grandkids inherit blessing, not brokenness. Like if we tied it all together, we have leaving, right? You're not defined by your past. You step into something new. Owning, you and I are not responsible for our family past, but we are responsible for our future, right? What happens next? You and I then need to create, right? The best way to break generational cycles is to replace them with something better. And look, you at this point, you might be like me, realizing just how much baggage we've actually been carrying. And here's the thing, awareness isn't the same as action. So what would it look like if we challenge each other to actually take the next step? Like imagine, right, you're standing at the baggage claim of your life right now, and all the bags have come around the carousel, and some of them are familiar, right? Some of the bags you have look familiar. It's the old heart hurts. It's the family dysfunction. It's the insecurities. And some of them are really heavy. It's the fear. It's the anger. It's the need for approval. It's the grudges. It's the resentment. Some of them aren't even yours to carry. They've just been handed down to you by your parents, your upbringing, your past experiences, right? They just passed down their baggage to you. But now you have a choice. You can pick them up again and carry the same weight, making the same excuses, living in the same dysfunctional patterns. Or we can leave them behind and we can leave it with God and leave lighter, freer, and stepping in the new life and identity that God is calling us to grow in. Guys, this isn't just about thinking differently. This is about living differently. And big changes start small. Breaking generational patterns isn't about one big moment. It's about consistent, intentional steps over time. And there's four practical ways that you and I can move forward. The first is to write it down. Now, you might be thinking, that is such a girl thing to do. Hang on one second. Listen, for the guys that are listening and watching in the room, look, naming something gives you power over it. If you don't define it, you can't defeat it. Like it's really important that we identify one bag that we've been carrying. Maybe it was a toxic belief, a repeated behavior, an unresolved hurt. And we just physically write it down. We just write it down on a piece of paper and we prayerfully surrender it to God. And then we destroy it, right? We rip it up, we shred it, we burn it safely. What it is the symbolic act of leaving it behind. Maybe this is an example. Someone struggling with a critical inner voice might write down, I am only as valuable as my achievements. And then they cross it out, they tear it up after they prayerfully surrender to God, and then they replace it with this truth. My worth is in Christ, not my performance. Or maybe the second step for you is to talk to someone. Healing happens in community, y'all. Sin and shame grow in isolation, but freedom thrives in community. Choose a person, choose a trusted person, whether it's a pastor, a mentor, a small group leader, a close friend, a close family member, a counselor, and just say to them, hey, I realized today that I've been carrying around whatever. And I don't want to stay stuck. I don't want to keep repeating the past. Can you help me walk this out? And it's a deeper wound. And if it's a deeper wound or a deeper pattern, consider biblical counseling. And honestly, we can help with that. Because sometimes prayer plus biblical counseling leads to a breakthrough. Like, for example, maybe you grew up in a home full of anger. What if you let someone know, I want to break the cycle of reacting in anger. Will you hold me accountable? Maybe for you, it's to pray specifically and boldly. It's one thing to modify our behavior, but listen, that doesn't last long. We get tired and we'll finally slip back into our old patterns. We need a heart transformation. And that's where the Holy Spirit, right? We ask the Holy Spirit, what lies am I believing that you want to replace with truth? Where am I still holding on to the past instead of stepping into my identity with you? Who do you want me to become in this next season of my life? Like, if anxiety runs in your family, what if we start praying, God, I've inherited fear. I've inherited anxiety, but you are calling me into peace. Help me to walk in trust instead of worry, instead of anxiety, instead of fear. And then take a step. Take a step. You and I just can't stop a bad habit. We have to replace it with a new one. Maybe it means for you, make it small and measurable. Like if your family avoided hard conversations, commit to one honest conversation a week. Just one. Maybe prayer wasn't a habit growing up. Start with 30 seconds each day. If finances were mismanaged, take one budgeting step. And these are things that we can help here. Like if this is something you truly don't know how to do, we are more than willing to help you take those steps. If negativity was the default in your home growing up, what if we start each day by telling God and someone else one thing that we're grateful for? And then, I know this might sound silly, but we schedule it. Because what gets scheduled gets done. There's three things I want us to think about. Number one, what do I need to leave? Is it a toxic mindset? Is it a habit? Is it a need for approval? What do I need to own? Have I been blaming instead of building? And then, what do I need to create? What kind of legacy will I start today? I'd love to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we're incredibly thankful for allowing us to do an inventory of our life. And Father, for us, all of us in the room and all of us watching and listening online have a family history. We all have a family past. And that might explain us, but that doesn't excuse us. And so, Father, for those who they don't have their identity in Christ, I ask, Father, that they would understand that Jesus lived the life they could not live. He died the death they deserved to die, and he rose from the dead to give us eternal life. And Father, when they believe that, they are made into a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Father, for those of us who are followers of Jesus and our identity is in you, forgive us for trying to go back to the dysfunction, to the hurt, to the wounds. Forgive us. Forgive us for not leaving the baggage with you. I ask that we would be so open and honest with you. Father, if some of us need counseling, we would get the counseling that we need. If some of us just need to repent, we repent. We just ask you to forgive us for carrying things we were never meant to carry. So, Father, I ask that you would, through the Holy Spirit, develop in us peace, self-control, love, gentleness, kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.